in here today, I was just thinking, God was putting them on. You're making a statement right now. You know what you're making a statement of? God is priority to you. There's a thousand other places you could be this morning. A thousand other places that would probably be more comfortable, you know, and more relaxing and whatever. But you're here, which means you want to know him and to know him more. And you already know him, but to know him more. And that's been one of the things in the ministry God has given me, is one of my themes has been to know him more, to know him more. I know him, but I want to know him more. More and more and more. Yeah, it's like, I want more of you. I want more of you, God. And it's like, hey, you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, Chuck. Okay, I know that, but I want more. You know, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about this guy that walked with God and he was no more. And we just read the song, sang the song that said, from walking from earth into eternity. How is that going to be? How is that going to be? You know, and I had a, say, near-death experience one time. Yeah, I'm laying on the table down in Glenwood Springs. My wife's in the hospital, not in the hospital, but at the hotel nearby with the little mutt dog. We only had one at the time. And I'm getting ready to have a stent put in. And I'm awake, and I'm watching the whole, they go through my wrist and put the stent in. And the whole time I'm watching this screen. Now, I remember the words of Chuck Smith when he found out he had lung cancer. Chuck Smith was the pastor that, the Jesus movement, the hippie movement in the 60s and 70s. And they had the movie out last year. What's the guy's name? Greg Laurie. Yeah, Greg Laurie. And I've actually met him before down in Miami. But a great guy and great ministry. But he was talking about how when he got diagnosed with lung cancer, most people would go, oh, my God. You know, I'm going to die. What he said was, I'll never forget it. He says, wow, how fearfully and wonderfully made I am. Because they were showing him the inside. And he died of lung. He never smoked a cigarette. I don't think he ever drank a beer. I don't think he ever said boo in his whole life. But it's just the way God took him home. And God's going to take us home one day, whatever way that's going to be. But from walking from here into eternity is going to be an awesome thing. And this, what we're going to talk about today, is continuing in the hall of faith. So if you got your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 11. And we talked about Abel last week. We went through the life of Abel and how he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why? Because it was offered in faith. Okay, we can talk about the blood, we can talk about all this other stuff, but the Bible specifically says it was offered in faith, Cain's was not. So what is faith? Again, let's review. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so God is spirit. He indwells us with his Holy Spirit. That's how we are led by the Lord. We are righteous by that. We're righteous by his blood. But have we ever seen God? If somebody asked me one time, I was down in Miami, and it was a young lady. I think she had just graduated high school. And she says, you cannot prove to me that there's a God. And I said, I know there's a God. She goes, you cannot prove it. I said, no, I cannot scientifically. Have you ever seen God? No, I haven't seen him. Well, how do you know there's a God? And then, I went back to the oldest argument in the book, was asking her a question about who was the first president of the United States. And you know where I'm going with this. Well, George Washington. I said, well, how do you know that? Have you met George Washington? Well, no. Well, how do you? Well, I read about him in a book. I said, yeah, I did too. I read about my Lord in a book, the Bible. What did I do with it? I don't know what I did with my Bible. Where did it go? No? That's okay. Anyway, I read about it in the Bible. The Bible is more reliable than any book. You want to put the Bible up to any book, there's no book like it. There's no 66 books written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years, and it all says the same thing. You know, I've got these books we were handing out, Josh McDowell, More Than a Carpenter. Guys, pick one up. We have this bookstore for a reason. We got time. You guys got time? Pick up some books and read them. Okay? If you can't afford to buy them, don't worry about it. Just get them, take them, and then pass them along to somebody else. But More Than a Carpenter is a really good book, and I just gave it to a couple of people here about the evidence of the Bible. What's your faith based on? And we're going to talk about that. Our faith is based on hearing. We hear. And what? What do we hear? The Word of God. Amen? So, Father, be with us today as we go through Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go into Enoch. And I'm going to tell you what I did, guys. I made the oldest mistake in the book when I was preparing for this message. I made the oldest mistake in the book. I started focusing on the man, Enoch. This guy's kind of cool. This guy walked with God and he was taken. Let me see what I can find out about this guy. Well, there's not a lot about him. There, when you start researching Enoch, you're like, he's mentioned in Genesis. He's in Jude. He's in Hebrews. And I think a little place in Luke. And that's about it. So what do we know about this? He says, by faith, Enoch, Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Now, how would that be? I don't know, but I know when I was laying on the operating table, they shot me up with some nitroglycerin. I was fine until they shot me up with some nitroglycerin. Turns out I'm very hyper allergic to it. So I started to feel really bad. And I was able to tell the doc who was sitting right beside me, Doc, I'm not feeling so good. Now, I didn't know it at this time, but he had already pulled the catheter out of my wrist. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. And at that point, I figured out, okay, this is what it's like to die. I'm about to die. And I'm like, it's not a big deal. We all worry about dying. It's not a big deal. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to wake up in Jesus. I'm like, I'm good with this. But the only thing I was thinking is, Lord, I just need to hang on a little bit because I don't have my affairs in order. And how many of us don't have our affairs in order? If you were to die today, how many of us are like, you know, would people be fighting over your house? Or do you have a house? What do you have that you might pass along or whatever? So we do need to get our affairs in order, but that's another subject. But I got it concentrating on this guy, Enoch, until God spoke to me and said, you're missing it, Chuck. You're missing it. You're looking at the man. Look at me. I'm the man. Look at Jesus. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. And so I got off on this thing on Enoch, and I started studying Enoch, and like he was 365 years old before God took him. And he was like the grandfather or father of Methuselah or something. Well, who was Methuselah? Methuselah was the man that lived the longest ever in the Bible, 969 something years. And then you study what Methuselah's name means. What does his name mean? It means his death shall bring. Well, what is that mean? Well, the year he died, the flood came. Wow. So now we really, talk about knowing more, we're looking in the scripture, now we're really taking a deep dive and going, this is all by design. You know, we were talking about the wheels, the drones, before service. We're talking about the drones and the Ezekiel wheels and the visions and what's going on and, you know, and all the secret stuff and, you know, and it's fascinating to look into that kind of stuff. And you go, well, nobody knows what's really going on. Well, I know somebody that knows what's going on. He's my daddy. He knows what's going on, and I ain't worried about it because guess what? I'm in the boat with him. And if the boat's going down, I'm going down with him. But guess what? It ain't going down. It ain't going down. And if it goes down, it's for good. Remember that. If anything ever goes down in your life, you think, I'm drowning, I'm in too deep. You're not, because you're with him. And he's got another purpose. Even if he kills me, what did Job say? Even if he kills me, I will still trust him. Wow. That's where we all need to be, guys. Even if he kills me, I'll still trust him. What are you worried about? Nothing. You know? And so, you know, it's fascinating though to dig into this stuff. Methuselah and what his name meant and what happened when he died and the flood came. And I was listening to a thing on TikTok the other day, John MacArthur, and this is kind of a spinoff. I know I'm kind of rambling right now, but John MacArthur said, oh, there's not going to be any animals in heaven. I'm like, John, have you read your Bible? First of all, God saved all the animals, but only one family. Okay? I said, God is not going to destroy his creation. Okay? And then I said, the lamb lays with the lion, and the children play at the viper's pit, the snake pit, and they don't get hurt. Yeah. And he's coming back on a white horse. So I'm like, okay, guys. But anyway, that's a spinoff. Let's get back to Enoch and what God wants us to see from this guy. So our focus is not here on Enoch, but it's on the faith he has. Just like when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you because my Father has revealed this to you. And on this rock, meaning Jesus, meaning faith in Jesus, that's the rock. We get it wrong. Catholic Church gets it way wrong. Oh, Peter the Rock. My dad, my grandfather met my grandmother at a play in a Baptist church called Peter the Rock. What? Peter's not a rock. He was a coward. You can't be a coward and a rock. And if you ever read the Old Testament, how many times does it say, a rock of salvation? Who is that? God. Who is God? Jesus. Okay, now we start to get it, right? It starts to make sense. So this guy Enoch didn't experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. You ever wanted God just take you away? You ever said, beam me up, God, beam me up, like beam me up, Scotty, everybody? That's kind of getting, I say that to the park ranger kids and they like look at me sideways because they don't know some of these old movies and stuff. Beam Me Up, Scotty was either Star Trek or Star Wars. I get those two mixed up all the time, Star Trek and Star Wars. I get them all. But all I know is I used to watch Captain Kirk. I think that was his name. Yeah. And it was kind of cool. But yeah, beam me up. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Lord. Get me out of here. My daughter and I had a discussion this week. Dad, I wish he would just come back. I said, I know, baby. I know. I've been there. I know. But enjoy your time today. Enjoy what God has given you today. Because we don't know what tomorrow is. Well, we do know. We do know. We don't know exactly, but we do. We know it's good. Okay? This is the unbeliever's struggle. The unbeliever's struggle is, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm so scared. The world's falling apart. They're fighting over in Syria. They're sending bombs. Guy ran through the market the other day. That German doctor, the Muslim doctor, went through the German Christian market and killed how many people? I mean, this is going to happen, guys. Jesus said the fight is going to happen. Expect it. Okay? We are called to engage, not to run from it. We're called to engage. We're called to protect our own sheep. Are you a shepherd? Yeah, you are. We're all shepherds in a way. We have our own little flock that we need to protect. And I know some of you moms in here will protect more than a man will. And that's not saying much for the men. But some of you moms in here will get sideways on somebody before the man realizes, yeah, I guess this is a situation where I maybe should step in. So, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Do you please God? Is God pleased with you? Say yes. He's absolutely pleased with you. He's absolutely pleased with you. He died for you. He absolutely is pleased with you. You have become obedient in Christ. And he's so we are of the same Enoch. God is pleased with us. God was pleased with him. Well, why was he pleased with him? Well, let's read on. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. There it is. Are we a people of faith? Then we please God. People without faith, they cannot please God. They cannot. It's impossible. Because they're always, you know, in reality, you think about all the fights in the world. And you think about all the crap, and I can call it crap, that's on TV. And all the, anybody ever watched The View? You know, I've never watched it, but I've seen clips of it, and I would never voluntarily want to watch it, but it's kind of forced on you. It's kind of forced on you. Oh, did you see what they said on The View today? It's almost like, who cares what they said on The View today? But it's always some controversy. Who are they fighting against? God. They're not fighting against, they're not sitting up there taking shots at Trump. They're taking shots at God. They're not sitting up there taking shots at abortion or against abortion. They're taking shots at God. It was my body. And who gave you that body? And you have another separate body in you. That DNA is actually a little different from yours. And that is a human being in the womb. God knew you before you were formed in the womb. You wouldn't be pregnant if it weren't for God. And you're going to make that life-changing decision? That's called murder. Plain and simple. So, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those. Listen to this. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I love that. I quote that all the time. Are you earnestly seeking Him? How many people do I talk to all the time? I invite them to church. Well, I don't need to go to church. I already believe. I got that. Okay? Our church is not like a typical church. Okay, guys? Just come. We talk about Jesus, actually. I've been to churches where they talk about vitamins and physical fitness and what you should eat and and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, wait. Here we are. Just like I was guilty. I'm looking at Enoch and I'm fascinated with Enoch and how much can I learn on Enoch? I'm right here, Chuck. Enoch testifies of me. Everybody testify. Everybody in the book. Everybody in this book testifies of me. And my goodness, and the hope I have for each one of you that believe. Wow, that's really cool. That's a get me back focused, God. How many times do we need to get back focused? And I'm the worst, I'm real, tell you. I've been on this motorcycle kick lately. Before that, I was on a Jeep Wrangler kick. I'm looking at Jeep Wrangler. Oh, I like that one. I like that one. And then I'm looking at motorcycles. And I'm like, boats. Oh, boats are cool. Let me look at boats. And I get sidetracked. And after a while, I've been on KSL Classified for an hour now looking at boats that I'm not going to buy. But it's cool. And, you know, so we need to get back focused. And God, remember that. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, if we go to Genesis 5:24, here it mentions Enoch again. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not there because God took him. Boom. See ya. Who buried Moses? God did. Who's going to bury all of us? God. But he's also going to resurrect us. Amen? But anyway, Enoch was there was Enoch who was taken up, and there was Elijah who was taken up. So there are a couple of people in the Bible that were taken up before they experienced death. And Enoch was one of them. So he walked with God. Are we walking with God? Yes. Yes. You can say, I walk with God. Every day you can say that. Oh, that sounds very boastful, Chuck. How do you just get to walk with God? Because I believe by faith. Well, what else? That's it. Well, it can't be that simple. Don't you have to give 10% or something? Nope. Don't have to do nothing. Walk with Him. Every day when I get up, I get up with God. Every day when you get up, you get up with God. Everywhere you go, God goes with you. When we used to teach, like the young men, the SOG group, we would talk about accountability. I would make a point to the young men. If you're struggling with accountability, you don't need to go to a 12-step program. You don't need to go to a group like this. Just carry your Bible everywhere you go. Because it's very difficult to carry your Bible into a strip club. It's very difficult to carry your Bible into certain places you might wander into and go, oh, that's right, I'm a man of God. What am I doing here? Yes, we walk with God every day. Jude 14 and 15 talks about this. It was about these that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied. He said, look, the Lord comes with tens of thousands of his holy ones to do what? Execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly concerning all the ungodly acts that they have done in an ungodly way and concerning all the harsh things ungodly sinners have said against him. Remember what I said? Our fight, the world's fight is not Republican, Democrat. It's not right versus the left, liberal versus conservative. It's the world versus God. I have an issue, and that issue is with God. God, I don't like the way you made me. I don't like the house I was born in. I don't like my parents. I'm mad at you. You could have given me better parents. You could have put me in a better situation. Why me? Why me? Why me? Instead of looking at all the good that God has given you. He's given you life and opportunity. Now go with it. You know, I've given you everything you need, God said. I've given you everything you need. Make of it. Go with it. Be like the people that were given the talents. Go and invest. Go and work and make something of it. Because we know if we just sit around and hide, what's going to happen with that? So who's he coming to judge? The ungodly. Are you ungodly? No. You're a believer. You are godly. We're not going to be judged. Actually, we've already been judged. Not guilty by the blood of the Lamb. That's really cool, isn't it? We've already had our judgment day. Not guilty. Why? Because he said so. And there ain't no changing it. There's no double jeopardy, guys. Everybody know what double jeopardy is? If you've ever been in the legal system, you get charged with something and you're acquitted, you're found not guilty. They can't turn around and charge you again. It's one shot. Guilty or not guilty. And we've been found not guilty. Amen? So the focus is not about Enoch. It's about his faith in God. Let's remember that. And the focus is not about me. It's about him. Now, he's going to turn right around and focus on me when he's on that cross. And that's what he did for all of us. He turned right around and focused on you. And he said, I want you. And the way I'm going to get you is I'm going to die for you. And my blood is going to take away your sins forever. Forever? Forever. I don't have to do nothing? Nope. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Well, let me get down off the cross and go do something. You ain't got time, bro. You're about to die. But your faith is accounted as righteousness. Amen? Amen. So, the apostles said to the Lord, and I want to close out with these last couple slides. The apostles said to the Lord in Luke 17, increase our faith. Well, I didn't know you could increase faith. Well, yeah. The apostles are praying for it. Lord, increase, and they're praying to the right guy, too. Increase our faith. And that should be our prayer. Lord, increase my faith. Every time you start doubting, every time you start worrying, you know, there's a million things you could worry yourself to death about today. We're going to get like what's going on, like in New Jersey, you know, the wheels. What are the wheels? They're going to blow us up. They're going to drop a nuclear bomb. They're going to kill us again. Have at it. Have at it. My God is a good God. My God has got me. And there ain't no nuclear bomb that's going to separate me. Isn't that cool? And that's why we have peace. And so increase our faith. So that should be our prayer. Lord, increase our faith when we're worried, when we're upset, when we're contemplating life. And so how we do that? Well, let's look at, I like the New King James Version here because it's the one I memorized growing up. But faith comes by hearing. Well, what? Hearing what? The Word of God. And I like the way the Christian Standard Bible says faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about Christ. You see how it all comes around to Jesus? Because when you put Jesus in the center of your life, and when you walk with Him every day, in that, everything just kind of goes away. And you know, I was back there. I changed the sign out there this morning, and I put it out there this morning. I changed the sign. I put, "Church without religion is here." That might catch a few eyes, right? Church without religion? Woo! What's that? And I'm out there, and I've got all these other big letters, and they're heavy. And I'm back there, and there's a little place I file them in, these little boxes where they go, the little letters. And I'm holding these letters, and one by one, I'm filing them. I'm thinking, man, these things are heavy. Or they're getting heavy. I'm just getting older and weaker. And I'm filing them away, and at each one, and I'm thinking in my mind, as each one goes away, my hand is getting lighter. And getting lighter, it's getting lighter. And I'm thinking, and God's recalling to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I'm thinking, every one of these I give away, let's take that analogy to your life. And whatever's bothering you today or worrying you today, give it to Him. Give it to Him. Just keep saying, hey, here's one I can't deal with. God, it's bigger than me. I can't deal with this. You're going to have to deal with it, because you know why? You're my Father, and you said you would. You said you would fight my battles, right? Faith. Faith. We don't have to fight the battles. How many times does God say in the Bible, you don't have to fight this battle, just stand still. Position yourself. How do I do that? In Him. And watch and see the salvation of the Lord. See the glory of the Lord. So remember, be in that Word. Be in that Word during the week. Like I say, there's books in the back. If you can't read the Bible, if you don't understand the Bible that well, there's books to help you. There's people to help you. And weigh everything you hear in the Word. And anything that's not, throw it out. Never to listen to those people again. You know, if they're saying something that's just totally crazy, doesn't agree with the Word, then I'm done with you. And the last thing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, we are not boasting beyond measure about other people's labors. On the contrary, we have the hope that as your faith increases. This was a letter he wrote to the church at Corinth. He says, we have the hope that as your faith increases. Here we go with the increasing of faith. Our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel to regions beyond you. And this is the true calling of a missionary. And this is something that Marie and I labor with every day. Should we go back to Colombia, and should we start a church there? Because the people are hungry. The people are, they've been lied to. They want to hear the truth. It's not like America. Don't bother me with that Jesus guy. I'll get to him later. Really? And then the ministry, he says, we want to go to regions beyond you. And this is a any pastor should have this in his heart to go like this, go and preach the gospel in regions beyond you, beyond everyone, where anybody will listen. I used to say if pastors were paid by converts, they would go to South America. Because there's hundreds and thousands of people that are starving for the gospel, for the truth. And they will listen and they will hang on every word you say. Because they've never been taught. They've never been taught. They've got the lie of the Catholic Church. And then they have the Christian so-called faith healer guys that have fleeced them so bad. I have to be careful when I'm in South America of saying I'm a pastor, because the next question out of their mouth sometimes is, how much money do you want? Because they've been robbed. They've been told, if you just give me $15, if you just give me $50. In fact, the more money you give me, the more God will reward you. They've been told that lie. How about God just loves me anyway? And God's going to do good things for me anyway? Because I'm His, not because I gave money to some pastor at some church. There's a church down there with 60,000 members that come in every Sunday, and the pastor flies in with a helicopter and lands on the top of the church. And they take hundreds of thousands of dollars from these poor people that are dying of cancer and illnesses and stuff, thinking they're going to get healed. And we all know this. God can heal. Can God heal? Absolutely. Have I seen God heal? Absolutely, I've seen Him heal. But what's the ultimate healing? The ultimate healing is we die and go to Him. We're all going to die. That is a fact. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because when we die, we're healed. You had problems before? My dad right now, diabetes, many strokes, heart attacks. He's 92. He's finally on a breather. He needs oxygen. It won't be very much longer, and he'll be free of all that. The ultimate healing, the healing to go to the Lord. So let's finish out here. So it says, preach the gospel to the regions beyond you without boasting about what has already been done in someone else's area of ministry. So let the one who boasts do what? Boast in the Lord. If we're going to boast, let's boast in what the Lord has done today and every day. You know, before we start talking about, you know, hey, what we all have done. And I was down in Cahabamba, Peru, and we had built a little house. These people that were living under a little shed. In fact, they had a little, what do you call it? Lean-to. What do you call the things? A canopy or a tarp. Yeah, they had a little tarp they were living under at 10,000 feet. So when the storms would come in, it would get cold and it would rain sideways. And they would get soaked and they would get wet and everything they owned and their kids and. So we found out about it. We had some bills in there in the church that knew how to build stuff, and some Joes and guys that knew how to do some stuff, and the Sons of Thunder and Layton and Tom, and all you guys know more than I know about that kind of stuff. And we took some hammers and some 2x4s, and we went out and built them a little house. And we built it in one day. It was like a shed more, but it had windows and it had a door. And we're all that night in the back of this hotel where we're all staying. And there's about 30 of us. We're sitting around a campfire. Everybody's going, man, boy, what a great thing we did today. We built this family house. What a great thing we did today. And I finally just got tired of hearing it. And I stood up and I said, guys, just shut up. We haven't done anything today without the Lord. The Lord has done this. The Lord put that house there. the Lord put it on our hearts to go do that, gave us the skills to go do that. And we're just doing the Lord's business. Don't boast about it. Boast about Him. And we'll do another one. We'll build another one tomorrow. And it's not about us. It's about Him. So if we're going to boast, let's boast about Him. Amen? Amen. I want to then again invite everybody for Tuesday night if you can make it. I thought it was actually Wednesday night. I was getting ready to put it out Wednesday night. Tom said, actually, it's Tuesday night. And I'm like, I'm glad you told me that, Tom, because I would have not been here Tuesday night. But we're going to read from the Old Testament in Spanish and English. We're going to have this Spanish group join us. And we're going to have a little candlelight. It'll be a candlelight service, so we'll have it'll be nice and cozy in here. And we're going to have empanadas afterwards, little chicken and beef empanadas. If you've never had them, they're delicious. We get them from a little restaurant down in Orem, an Argentina restaurant. And we're going to cook up some hot chocolate afterwards. And the Spanish group is going to put on a little presentation, a little nativity presentation of some sort. I have no idea what it looks like. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And okay, yeah, that's cool. We'll do that, and also the worship is going to be kind of cool because we got songs in English, but they have the Spanish lyrics, so everybody can participate. So, okay, God bless you guys. If I haven't told you this before, I love every one of you. If you ever need anything, call me. Okay, even if I'm a state away, I'll call Joe or Bill. Or Tom or Layton or one of the guys or one of these guys. We're all a big family here, and let's pass the good news. Let's pass the good news along to people that are in hurting, that are out there hurting this time of year. A lot of people are depressed this time of year because they just think back on memories of old, and it's not like that anymore. And you start forgetting all the bad, and you remember just the good, and you start missing. Reminiscing, and there's a lot of suicides this time of year, you know, and a lot of people just need you to come along and say, brother, you don't look like you're doing too well today. Try that with somebody and see what happens. Sometimes they'll say, oh, well, I'm just having a bad day. It's a little more than that. I stood at AutoZone Christmas Eve probably 15 years ago in Brunswick, Georgia. I had to run to AutoZone. I had to get something. And as I'm coming out, there's this lady there. She's got her hood up. And I walk by, and she says, you know anything about batteries? You know, I said, well, I know they got a battery tester in here. Let me go see if they can bring it out. So I helped her. We found out, yeah, she needed a new battery. I was about to leave, and I walked past this other guy. He pulled up, and he goes, hey, man, can you help me, like, hold this while I take this off? Because I got to, yeah, sure. About 2 hours later, I spent my Christmas Eve at AutoZone because people are coming in there. They got problems. They got problems with the cars. And I just happen to be there, and I don't know anything about cars. So how to change the oil and put the gas in it. But I'm sitting there, God was using me to help these people. So be that person that's willing to extend that hope that we have. Don't take your, like the Bible says, don't take your light and put it under a table. Hold it up here. And they'll look at you and say, why are you so happy? Why, you seem to be just at peace. Why are you not worried? Because there's nothing to worry about. Because I got Him. Well, who's Him? Well, let me tell you about it. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for everyone here. Lord, bless our hearts. Be with them as we know you will. Lord, we look forward to continuing in your word in the days to come. And we look forward to diving in and just getting to know you more and more and more. We can't know you enough. In Jesus' name, amen.